Hey, welcome back to the show. In today's episode, I'm going to be talking about mindfulness in sport. So expect to learn what mindfulness is, how you can use it, and where you can use it, and much more. Before we get started, one thing that really helps out the show is subscribing and following on whatever channel that you're on. Also, leaving a review really does help. I can't stress that enough. And so I'm giving away a free mindset session to someone who leaves a review on Apple Podcasts. If you leave a review on Apple Podcasts, take a screenshot of it, send it over to me on Instagram at Lewis Hatchett. I will choose a winner at random and provide a free mindset coaching session. So if you want to grab a hold of that, head over to Apple Podcasts, leave a review, take a screenshot and send it in to Instagram at Lewis Hatchett via my DMs. If you're listening to this episode with a curiosity for developing mindfulness and maybe even getting into meditation, or if anything, just training your mind, then you might want to try out the MindStrong Sport app. This is an exclusive start to the app. You'll be one of the very first people to give this app a go. So if you're an athlete, maybe even a psychologist, the aim of this app is to help you develop your mental game and be the tool that you can go to when you want to do that. So again, if you're an athlete, maybe a coach, or even a psychologist that's looking for using a tool to help your own athletes, then this could be exactly what you're looking for. There's a range of meditations, different exercises. There's even physical exercises using yoga as well as breath work. And we'll be continuously adding new sessions to the app as we go along. So if you want to get started, you can head over to the link that is in the description, which is heading over to mindstrongsport.com. You can also head over to the app stores on both iOS and Android and just type in MindStrong Sport and find the app there. Can't wait for you to get started, and I'm excited to see how it can help you and your mental game. So as a part of an early bird offer to the start of the MindStrong Sport app, we're giving away a free yoga mat and two blocks for everyone who signs up to a lifetime membership on the app. Now, I created these mats and blocks out of my own frustration of what was on the market, and I started my meditation practice by setting up a space with the equipment. So pretty much setting up a mat and using blocks, and you'll see if you follow me on Instagram, me using those mats and blocks as a part of my daily practice. But I wanted to help athletes with this, and so creating something that was good quality but also affordable was really important to me, and I'm really happy with what we've created. I'm really excited with these products. So if you want to get started with a practice like meditation, start your mindfulness practice, or even get into yoga, then I can't recommend these products enough. But to get them totally free, all you have to do is sign up to a lifetime membership for the MindStrong Sport app, and we will send out that mat and those blocks to you. Now, unfortunately, this is only available in the UK at the moment, but if you are abroad and you want to buy a lifetime membership, please get in touch, and there'll be other ways in which we can provide some bonus value other than the mat and blocks. And unfortunately, we just can't send them out there at the moment. So once again, if you want to join the MindStrong Sport app and get a free yoga mat and blocks in the UK, then sign up for a lifetime membership. The link is in the description of this episode. But on to today's episode on mindfulness in sport. Enjoy. So what do Novak Djokovic, LeBron James, Erling Haaland, and even the late Kobe Bryant have in common? They practice mindfulness, and specifically, they have spoken about practicing meditation. I'll get on to the practice of meditation, but you can see in not only these guys being incredible athletes, but in interviews that they've had where they've spoken about practicing, but they've also talked about just their sport in general. You can tell when someone is kind of practicing mindfulness because they are talking about being in the present moment. They talk about the enjoyment of the sport, enjoying every moment, being one with the moment, getting into that flow state, or if a bad experience happens to them, being able to move past the experience and onto the next one and what matters most for them. So when you get these athletes that talk like that, there's usually a few signs that they're practicing mindfulness. They're very mindful individuals. And there is so much in the literature, but also just if you type it into Google, the amount of athletes that you can find that are practicing mindfulness. And the reason being, it has been an area for, well, I mean, mindfulness is thousands of years old. We're talking back to early yogic practices that were teaching this, whether it was in Buddhism or whether we're talking about the development of yoga itself. But many people, even from a yoga point of view, think that yoga was all about the positions, the flexibility, the moves, when actually that's only just one part of what it's about. Yoga, the physical form, was actually designed to help people get into meditation a lot easier because the goal was to meditate and become mindful. Just the physical practice itself helps you get there. It's not actually the end goal. It's just one of many parts of it. But mindfulness in sport is something that is getting a fair bit of attention, not only just because of the performance benefits that you can get from it, but also the well-being benefits, the mental health benefits. And you will find that there are companies around the world that have developed apps to develop practices and help people get into meditation to become more mindful. And that is something that the mental health space is really big on, because our world is tearing us away from being present and tearing us away from this mindful approach, and we need something to fight back at it. And so these companies are doing that. And if just a quick plug, if you want to get into it as a sportsman, head over to mindstrongsport.com to check out what we're doing there. But my own journey with mindfulness has been a bit of a unique one, in the sense that I got into yoga first up just to deal with injuries. And as an athlete, I was pretty much burnt out. I was mentally stressed. I had one of my coaches at the time, actually a former guest on the show, John Lewis. He got me into yoga because what I thought he was trying to push me down the road for was for my injuries. But actually, he was trying to get me into yoga because he thought, geez, this kid's wired and he's really anxious and stressed. And my egotistical brain didn't see that. And I got into yoga thinking I was just trying to become more flexible. But actually, it was through the practice of the physical of yoga that I started to find mindfulness. I started to be more present. And then I just saw this change in my demeanor. But brilliantly, I started to see the change in my performances. I started to see how I was changing in the world around me. I was having better relationships with people. I was just being calmer in general. I could focus a bit better. I could notice when my focus was lost. I could notice when I'd lost my attention. And that was me starting to become more mindful. So if you are looking to get into mindfulness and you're thinking this is something that you want to do, you might be asking yourself, well, what is mindfulness? You definitely would have heard of the two words, mindfulness and meditation, and there is a distinct difference between them. So mindfulness is just essentially the art of noticing. It's the art of being aware. And the end goal for us is to build our self-awareness. Now, the self-awareness around our thoughts, the self-awareness around those around us, and our interaction with both ourselves and the world. Meditation is quite literally the practice that teaches us to be more mindful. It helps us get there. So you can think of it like going to the gym for your mind. It is just practicing being more mindful. Now, many people will find meditation really frustrating because you can't sit still with yourself for more than 5 minutes at a time without just getting agitated or getting lost in thought. Something really common that happens is people say they get lost in thought. And that was me when I first started and started getting into meditation. Totally got lost in thought. I thought I was getting distracted all the time and I'm not getting this right. I specifically would say to myself, I'm not good at meditation. I'm not good at mindfulness because I'm getting lost in thought, or I've got too many thoughts. That would be a really common problem. I've got too many thoughts. When reality is, there's no such thing. We just have more thoughts to observe rather than less thoughts to observe. So if you think about mindfulness, it is the curiosity that you want to create in your mind, the awareness of where your mind is at any one moment. And then in that process, you become mindful because you are in the present moment, asking yourself, what is going on here in this present moment? Sounds all a bit wishy-washy, but maybe if you can just simply grasp that concept of, if you can be curious of what is going on your mind at any one moment, what's going on with my mind right now? Where is it? Oh, look, it's really distracted. Oh, look, it's actually focused on this fly that's sitting on the floor, or the sound of the bus going past my door, or the person banging on the roof and the neighbor next door cutting their grass, whatever it might be, all of those distractions. And the art of being able to notice all of this is something we have to work on, something we have to develop. Mindfulness and being more mindful is something that you have to actively get involved in and you have to continuously work at. So why would you want to be mindful? Why would you want to actually be more mindful and gain this mindfulness? So why would we want to just gain this mindfulness? Why would we want to have this in our locker, so to speak? First off, staying present. Being present, if you've played a sport or just in everyday life, there is a chance that you are either lost in thought on something that has happened in the past and you're worried about it, or maybe you're fearing something that could potentially happen in the future, like a future thought or an idea of something that might happen in the future. Chances are that you're very rarely in the present moment. Now, if you were to think of a performance where things were going really well for you and you were kind of untouchable and nothing was getting in your way, chances are you were right in the present moment. That is being mindful, and that's what we want to try and develop. So the art of mindfulness is trying to notice, is my mind away from that present moment? If it's in the past or if it's in the future, can I bring it back to now? And that's where you use something like meditation or breathing techniques to just bring yourself back into the present moment. And by doing that more often than not, or just practicing that simple but maybe not so easy skill, you actually start to develop mindfulness and you start to develop being in the present moment a lot more. And that's something that we're not very good at because we've got so many things right now that are just tearing us out of the present moment. So, and mindfulness meditation, the actual practice of mindfulness meditation, is just the art of bringing yourself back to that present moment, noticing what's going on and doing that. So that is pretty much the first thing that we want to try and achieve out of being more mindful, is being present in where we are right now. The curiosity that comes with mindfulness is probably my favorite part of it, and really helps with developing that mindfulness for not only yourself, but for other people. So one thing that mindfulness can do is help with your emotional regulation. It can also help with your relationships, and we'll kind of touch on that in a minute, but your emotional regulation, and sport is an emotional thing. It's a highly emotional event that we could be going through, or just season that you might be having, right? And there's going to be ups and downs, and trying to regulate those emotions. And we usually think of emotional regulation when things are in the negative and not going so well. We want to try and understand what those emotions are about. We want to try and understand what's happening with those emotions, where they're coming from, and like how we're getting to this stage. And so mindfulness and the curiosity that comes with mindfulness asks the questions, why do I feel like this? So if you are feeling frustrated, if you are feeling anxious, if you're maybe feeling overexcited and you're just getting caught up with yourself, you can sit there, and being mindful will allow you to ask the question, like, why am I feeling this? Where is this coming from? What are it? And you will find deeper answers for what you're looking for. I have found that purely through my anxieties, my fears of things that I have had in the past or something that I've got coming up in the future, by being mindful, I just get to ask myself, like, why am I anxious right now? What am I nervous about? What am I thinking? Where does my mind go? And that thinking is attached with this emotion that I'm feeling. And you can use some of the techniques, whether it's meditation, journaling, just simply speaking it out loud, can really help with just understanding, okay, this is what's going on. And the more we practice that, the more we practice understanding and seeing our emotions, that curiosity and viewing them, that is us being mindful, being very mindful of our emotions. And because if we can start to regulate our own emotions, we will improve our relationship with ourselves. We won't beat ourselves up so much. We won't maybe get too complacent. And we'll also then have a better relationship with other people. We'll be able to understand others, whether it's teammates, friends, family members, coaches. We'll be able to understand them. And that curiosity that you've started to develop for yourself, you can start to develop for others. So building better relationships is a huge part of mindfulness. And one of my favorite things about this curiosity that comes with it is the fact that if you do have a tough interaction with someone, or you maybe have a teammate that's someone that you're not getting on with, a friend, a family member, again, a coach, and they're giving you a hard time and your emotions might start changing, you can actually then look through this curiosity lens, this mindful lens, and start to ask, huh, I wonder why they're like that. I wonder what's going on in that moment and why they might be like this, rather than actually running away with the emotion and going, oh, well, they're just an asshole. Like, I don't want to deal with them. You can actually be a little bit more curious and think, well, what's got them to that place? Maybe what's going on in their life that could make them be like that? Having that curiosity, you actually change your perspective. You change your perspective from one of frustration to that curiosity and maybe a bit more empathy. And you might even end up being able to ask them, like, hey, look, our interaction there wasn't as good as I thought it could be. Or I see you might be a little bit off at the moment. I just wondered, is everything okay? Is everything okay with me? Like, I just want to see if something's going on here. And just, again, that curiosity brings you away from sort of these storylines that you could be creating in that relationship and actually brings you to that present moment. It makes you much more aware of the relationship, much more curious about what's going on. I've seen this happen with some of my friends as well, and friends that I know practice mindfulness. The interactions we've had where they have almost called me out on things before because they're aware of something that I might not be aware of in the moment, and they've called me out. And I can feel myself getting really emotional in this criticism that I'm feeling. And then suddenly, just by being curious and being mindful of the experience that they've had and the experience that I've had, I can change my response to it. And that's probably a really great benefit of mindfulness, is that it allows us to build all of this curiosity, all of this self-awareness, so that we can actually start to respond better to situations. So if we're dealing with a poor performance, or whether we're dealing with a really pressurized situation, being mindful, creating a mindfulness gap between stimulus and response, that time between when something happens to you and what you do about it, when you create a longer gap or a more mindful gap, you respond in a way that is much more aligned with the human being that you want to be. If you've read Dr. Steve Peters' The Chimp Paradox, you'll understand that he talks about our emotional brain being the chimp and our logical brain being the human. Now, we really want to come from the human being and this human person that's logical, and it's our thinking, and it's our deep-rooted way in which we want to be. However, our chimp can hijack us and can be really emotional and create something. So if you have an interaction with, say, someone that has not gone your way, or someone's given you feedback and you instantly want to retaliate and defend yourself or run away or go back at them. I used to be really direct and try and fire back at people. That's your chimp, and you've got a really small mindfulness gap. Now, when you practice mindfulness, you actually give yourself time, and the chimp, time to calm down and actually hand over the response to the human being. And when we practice more mindfulness, when we practice this, we're not going to get it right every time. Also, that's worth noting. We're not going to get it right every time that we do this, but it's just in the practice and constantly trying to improve yourself in knowing that, okay, someone has said something that's irritated me. I want to say this, but I'm going to wait. I'm chill. I'm going to think about it, be curious about these thoughts, and I'm going to respond in the way that I want to. So being able to practice mindfulness will help you with responding to situations. So again, whether that's in a relationship, but also it could be about making a decision. It could be about making a decision. You want to make a decision much more clearer. You want to make the right decision and not an emotional one. So being more mindful, you can understand, okay, I'm under pressure here. This is what's happening to me. This is the experience that I'm going through. And by doing that, you calm your emotions down. You probably calm down the physical response to the situation. And then you can actually think a little bit clearer towards the task, the goal that you have in that moment. So if you're taking a free kick in football and the pressure's on, you've got a crowd watching you, it's last minute, you feel all of that nerve and anxiety, but you might suddenly forget how to kick the ball and forget some of your technical points you got to do, or you're overthinking it. And just in that process, mindfulness can make you be stronger at being aware of those distractions and then coming back to the moment and going on to what is relevant in the task, rather than focusing on all the stuff around you, the distractions and things that are irrelevant. So there's a load of different benefits that mindfulness has, and I've probably missed out some, but really that self-awareness is what we're trying to develop, that self-awareness in the moment, that self-awareness for ourselves, self-awareness for other people, and just being really present and aware in everything that's going on. So when do you want to use it? So when do you want to really use mindfulness? So you can use it, whether that's just in your everyday life. I would encourage you to be more mindful in your everyday life. It's going to improve all of those different aspects of your life. Okay, so when do we want to actually use mindfulness? So we practice mindfulness through many different ways. And that can be through, like I've said, meditation. You can be through the physical practice of yoga. The reason yoga, the actual physical practices, and it's not about doing the moves for the move's sake and trying to be flexible. When you're doing yoga and you're being mindful within yoga, it's being aware of your breath. It's being aware of the sensations that's going through your body. I promise you, if you are standing on one leg trying to balance or you're in a stretch, you are probably not thinking about much else other than what's going on in your body or trying to keep your balance. You're not thinking about what someone said about you later on or earlier on, or what someone's going to do later on. You're really not focused on any of that. You're focused on purely your breath, what's going on in your body and also in your mind. And that's where that curiosity, you can add that into your physical practice. You can also do this in things like your workouts. So if you're doing, say, like a cardio workout and you get like a rest and recovery, being really aware of your breath. A lot of people will talk about my running is my meditation. And that's really true, because I promise you, when you're running, a lot of people are either focused on the discomfort that's going on in their body, the breathing that they've got going on, or maybe even just enjoying the surroundings that are around them. Most people will talk about that running experience being a meditative process, because it really is. You're so mindful when you're running. I love running, and I love getting out in nature and running around as much as I can. I love running by the seafront, and I love going around into the countryside, because you get to see all of these beautiful landscapes. You're very present in that moment, and you're able to actually just enjoy it for what it is. Sort of alongside that is listening to things like music, but not listening to it just to have a good old sing-along. I try to be more mindful about your listening of music. Like, can you listen for an instrument that is within it and being really curious about the beats or what instruments come in at what point? Can you almost hear someone plucking a guitar? That's adding mindfulness into something that you're already doing. So it hasn't always got to be meditation, although meditation is an amazing way of doing it, and one that definitely a lot of the literature has shown in increasing focus, in improving sort of cognitive ability, relationships, well-being, many different benefits that come with it. But it all is stemmed from just essentially being more mindful and getting more mindfulness into our lives. So for you, it might be meditation, it might be yoga, it might be adding it into your workouts. If you're lifting weights, can you feel it in your muscles? Can you feel it in the parts of your body that you're working out? Just being super mindful. And that's a really short period of time. It hasn't got to be for loads of moments. The idea is that we don't just silo mindfulness just for one part of our day. It's like, I do meditation for 10 minutes and then I'm just going to be an asshole for the rest of the day. Like, I'm just going to be so unmindful. It's not that. It's the fact that, can you find all of these different pockets of your life to continuously add and try and be more mindful in moments you are that you weren't? It could even be eating. So breakfast, when I was learning to become a yoga teacher and mindfulness coach, we had silent breakfasts. And the goal of that was to sit there and be really mindful of the meal that you're eating. And it really did work. You're sitting there, you're enjoying the textures of the food, the flavors suddenly become more alive. You're noticing the surroundings around you. You're not on your phone scrolling through the news, what's going on, social media. You're really engaged with the food. And then you start to be more grateful for the food that you've got and almost feel the impact that it's having on your body. And that mind-body connection that you're creating is a huge benefit for an athlete. If you're able to constantly understand like what's going on in my body, whether it's through meditation, whether it's through yoga, I've spoken about it before, you can start to pick up on signals that where you might start to feel you're getting injured or getting sick, or you haven't got enough energy because your nutrition's been off. You start to just be aware of everything that's going on in your mind, and that's a in your mind and your body. And that's a great place to be in. I know I've stopped myself from getting seriously injured in many different times in my sport just by being mindful of my body, what's going on, or I've been able to improve my performance because I've been mindful that, okay, my body feels run down, I need to add a little bit more recovery and rest in here, or I need to improve my nutrition later on to have a better performance later on the day, whatever it is. It's been about being mindful of what's going on there. So there's so many different benefits and ways in which you can do it. It could also be journaling. Like if you've listened to the podcast a lot, I talk a lot about getting your thoughts out on to a page to make them real. And that process of mindfully writing something, and I really encourage you to not just put this in your notes in your phone and tap away on your screen, to actually grab a pen and paper and just write mindfully on the page and just get thoughts out onto a journal, into your notepad, and do that. So you can see when we do it, how we do it is many different ways. So you could be adding in a quick meditation practice before a training session, or there are athletes that do it in between halves. You see LeBron James meditating on the sidelines in NBA games. You could definitely add it in before a game. You can, and again, it's about 5-10 minutes of just focused attention, maybe even just setting yourself up, like, what is it that you want to achieve in the game coming up, and really drawing your senses and not getting caught up in snowballed thoughts that could just run away from you later on in the day. So giving yourself these little pockets where you can start practicing. It could be in your warm-up where you are getting your body ready. You've got music in, you're listening to music, you're being mindful there, but you're also then focusing in on your body. You're focusing on what parts of your body do you need to open up in your warm-up stretches? Can you feel your heart rate starting to go up? So just by going through something as simple as your normal warm-up, you can bring so much more attention to it and bring mindfulness to it, which is then going to improve your mental performance because you've now set yourself up. You've set yourself up with better attention. You've got more awareness around your thoughts, rather than going into a game where you haven't kind of done that mental prep. And you can think of it like that. You can think of it like mentally preparing your mind before you go into a game or a situation or training session, and using these little moments. And however you do that, again, meditation, warm-ups, physical, yoga, stretching, journaling, writing out a plan, just all of that, using mindfulness for a better mental performance. And this is something that you can add in tomorrow. You can do this. It's going to cost you nothing to do that. Just some of these techniques, some of these ways of being more mindful in your sport is undoubtedly going to help you out. And if anything, if you're still sort of on the edge of whether to do it or not, one of the biggest pieces of advice I got as an athlete was, if you walk away from your career, you want to know that you've turned over every stone possible in order to make yourself the best athlete and person. So why would you not give this a go? Why would you not give something a go and just see where it takes you? Especially if you know that it's not really going to harm you. There's nothing really that I've found that being mindful can harm you. I think if there's only ever one thing that I think of that potentially is what I would maybe call the burden of mindfulness, is sometimes once you've seen a lot of your thoughts, you kind of can't unsee them, and you've started to practice mindfulness, you end up being mindful a lot of the time. And I think I catch myself, and it's a part of my mindfulness practice, having to not ask too many questions all the time or ask too many whys. And that is a part of my mindfulness practice, to be aware of myself of when I'm doing that. So other than that, I would say it's been a huge benefit in my life of bringing it in. I think there are moments where you can turn it off and you don't need to be mindful. I heard Novak Djokovic talk about how you don't need to be present all the time. That is so true. You can allow yourself to just be distracted. And it's nice to just allow yourself to be sort of wherever your mind wants to be in that moment, and just let it go and just not even think about trying to be mindful, because it can almost be stressful trying to be mindful. And so there are moments where you're not going to need to be on it or thinking about it, and just those are great moments as well. So don't think of this as something that could potentially pull you back, because without a doubt, having more mindfulness in your life is only going to benefit you. It's going to make you understand yourself more. It's going to improve some of your performances. It's also going to improve how you deal with performances, the good, the bad, the ugly. But more importantly, your interaction with yourself and the people around you, really that human being. And that's why it has so many benefits in both performance and well-being. And that's something that I think is worthwhile taking on board even if you get that 1% increase, even if you find that 1% difference. And that's why I use it as sort of my 1%er, because the literature has found that 12 plus minutes of meditation a day is beneficial for cognitive performance. And that 12 minutes is pretty much 1% of your day in time. So yeah, if you want to grab that 1%, get into mindfulness and definitely give it a go. So hopefully this has been helpful for you. If you want to get into mindfulness, then do get in touch with me over on Instagram. Head over to @LewisHatchett. We've also just started launching Mindstrong Sport. So you can go and find Mindstrong Sport on Instagram as well, @MindstrongSport. And there's also the Mindstrong Sport app, and some offers are available in the description of this episode. But as always, if this has impacted you in any way, shape or form, do subscribe, do follow the show on whatever platform you're listening to. Head over to Apple Podcasts, leave a review, it really does make a difference. Or just get in touch again over at Instagram @LewisHatchett. Let me know how you're getting on, and I'd love hearing from you guys and how the podcast has potentially improved not only you as a human being, but also as an athlete. All right, that's all from me, and I will see you guys next time. Take it easy.